Hello, it's Monday, November 7th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 30. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. Now, I feel stupid saying we use the interviews this week because I've already said it. It's not spontaneous anymore. It's not even a word. If you want to send us some, email or some audio comments or reviews or whatnot, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Today, we have some folks with us. We have Keith.
Evil is merely a perspective which no longer concerns me.
Bob.
I am bathed in a tangy glaze.
Phil.
Greetings.
And sort of Tom. Tom is listening in, but his network connection where he is currently at is so horrible.
Next topic.
All right, what are we going to talk about today? New at Dream Station, Star Wars Battlefront 2 review for the Xbox, no PlayStation 3 Live, Sony's PSP Media Manager, Sony's Audio DRM, Xbox 360, no HD games, Factor Crap, Video Game Deaths, our forum question, and our mailbag.
Mailbag.
Next topic.
In housekeeping, I guess first of all, I'd like to thank the guys at Podtacular TV. We kick each other from the server, and Bob thought it would be funny to throw an IP ban on the host here of the show. So for about 10 minutes, I was really pissed off and couldn't get back into my own server. So anyways, the whole Podtacular thing is just randomly on Xfire, one of the guys from Podtacular TV, you know, hey, I like your show, and we started talking, and he said, maybe we should do something together in the future. I said, that would be cool, but I'm sorry, I kind of got to go, I have a dilemma, and he offered up his server for us to use, so we didn't need to, but there you go. See, we're all friends here. Dream Station t-shirts are here, and the demand was pretty high. We've sold one of them. You're all liars.
Sweet.
You told me you wanted shirts. You lied. If you want our shirts, buy our shirts. If you don't want our shirts, then the next time I ask, do we want shirts, tell me no. And again, World of Warcraft, we're back into it. We're on the Mediv server, M-E-D-I-V-H. Just do a search for the Dream Station Guild. You'll see us. Message one of us if you want to get in. No problem. This was something that I saw online. It was really funny. It's like honest, real video game covers, and what people did was Photoshop the name of video games, and they made it so that it's more descriptive about what they are. So like Bob said, Katamari Damacy is really called Magically Adhesive Ball of Garbage.
I didn't see that one.
You guys remember the pad for Nintendo that you could run on the pad and you'd play track and field? They changed the name of the track and field game to Step Off the Pad for the Long Jump.
Monster Update 06.
There's that one fighting game that's called Two Moves. So basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post this link. Now, guys, be aware there is some not-for-children language in there. If mom and dad don't know, you'll probably laugh really hard. Just go into our forums on the left-hand side, the general forums. I'll post the link there.
Next topic.
New at DreamStation.cc. We have reviews of Marvel Nemesis Rise of the Imperfects for PSP, the XG Vortex 500 power supply for your PC, the Game Boy Advance version of Teen Titans, Makai Kingdom Chronicles of the Sacred Tomb for PlayStation 2, Chicken Little for the PlayStation 2, and we have an interview with Chris Gibbs of Battlefield 2 Modern Combat.
Next topic.
We have this week a review for the Xbox version of Star Wars Battlefront 2. Basically what happened was a bunch of people came over to the house Saturday. We swung out and grabbed the new Star Wars Battlefront 2 game for the Xbox, and we played it with four people co-op in the campaign modes.
It's basically, it's got a couple like little games within it. It's got like a Risk, you fly around and take planets version, and then like the main version where it's a little third person guy and you run around shooting. They also have a space game in there. So you play the role of the Storm Troopers and you just run around and you get to kill all the good guys.
Third person shooter, you can switch the options inside the game to be a first person shooter if you like, but that was one of the things I said when he told me, hey, you gotta play this game, it's really good. I said, well, you know, we don't really like first person shooters. I thought the controls were pretty tight, and I know everybody but me played it in the third person. I played it in the first person, and once you got the hang of it, I mean, the buttons are not a lot. There's primary weapon, secondary weapon, switch weapon button, get in and out of vehicles.
Jump.
I think that's it. Jump, thank you. We kind of prefer the co-op games, and we played it for hours and hours and hours. Very, very good.
Up there with X-Men Legends 2. It's just a lot of fun, and it's even more fun if you like Star Wars, because you get to unlock. You start out with so many troops, and as you get kills and do objectives, you can unlock more advanced troops.
Right, it's a class-based game, kind of like a Battlefield 2 or something, where you have different classes of guys. You got your regular scout, your heavy weapons guy, your engineer, your sniper, and then as Keith said, you can unlock hero classes, which, you know, you're Yoda, and you run around with your lightsaber and kill things very powerful. got capture the flag modes, it's got co-op modes, it's got deathmatch modes, it's got one flag, capture the flag. We didn't really play it online on Saturday, but since then I've played it for a few hours online. The problem that I have with it is that most of the games that I played online were filled with lag. And the reason is there's 32 players maximum in this game, so it's kind of a lot for a console. And I don't think that most people's home cable modem connection is up for it, because one of you has to host the game. And to handle all the AI and the connections and everything else is too taxing. So my advice is, if you can join a dedicated game with a dedicated host, you'll have a lot more fun. So Phil, out of a 10, what would you give this game?
Keep in mind that I am horrible at first-person shooter games. Even though you guys kept comparing it to a non-first-person shooter game, I couldn't control my character very well. The flying was, I had a very difficult time with, so I will have to give it a difficult score of 6.
Six. Phil didn't care for it so much.
Plus, all the objectives, there was a narrator telling you what the plot was, and I wasn't following the narrator because I was too worried about not shooting everybody else and getting shot, and I didn't enjoy it at all.
That is a good point, real quick. The narrator, they kind of have this big arrow that's supposed to tell you where to go, so at any time you know exactly what to do. I think half the people playing got the arrow, the other half were more confused by the arrow, and part of it was because the arrow didn't tell you exactly where to go, it told you where you needed to end up, so you might have to go through 3 walls, 4 rooms, and around 2 corners to get to the arrow, and that just made it hard on some of the more difficult, confusing maze levels. And as somebody else said, Chris Ivan was playing the game, he said it just got repetitive, and he liked it, but he said enough's enough, let's play something else. Keith, what would you give it out of a 10?
I would give it an 8 out of 10, and if you're a Star Wars fan, like an 8.5, maybe even a 9, because it's a good game as it is, and if you like Star Wars, it's just that much better.
We didn't play Star Wars Battlefront 1, so a lot of the complaints people were saying was it's just really an updated version, it fixed some of the problems with the first one, but really, if you have Part 1, there's not a ton new at Part 2. I have no idea, I didn't play the first one. I would probably give it an 8 out of 10. That score might go down a little if I continue to have nothing but problems online on Xbox Live. If you have some people co-op, so it's really not single player, it's more campaign mode. If you can play with a bunch of friends just by yourself, I agree with Ivan. I think it might get old unless you're playing online against some other humans.
It was kind of like Warcraft, where it was very pretty and everything was realistic looking. That aspect of the game I would rank really high, but as far as my gameplay and enjoyment, I rank it kind of low.
So we got an 8, a 6, and Keith said an 8 or a 9, depending on if you like Star Wars. So we actually have some discussion here this week.
Next topic.
No Live for PlayStation 3. What I mean by this is Sony has decided that they will not have a unified online service the way like an Xbox Live does, or what Nintendo's doing with the Wi-Fi, where you have one account that you're going to use for all your games and you sign into this one thing. They're going to do things the way that the current PS2 does them for online. It will be up to each individual developer and or game to handle the accounts, handle creation of the accounts, how they get into the game, etc. Problem I have with this is overall really that the PlayStation 2's online experience was kind of fun. I know they didn't promote it maybe as well as they should have. The big thing about Xbox Live is most of the people on Live have a headset so that you can communicate with them. There's nothing worse than going into a headsets-only game in football for PlayStation 2, and turns out the guy doesn't have a headset. They're saying, yes, it gives them more freedom, that they'll be able to do whatever they want, the developers can handle it. But for example, I have a Battlefield 2 review I got to do for PlayStation 2, and last night I played that for a little bit. You had to create your account, you had to go through GameSpy, you had to tie in your GameSpy ID with your email address. I forgot the password, so it couldn't use that same email address because it said you already have an ID. So then I had to go on the computer and have them email me my password, then go back upstairs. So the play was just a big pain in the rear. And now I will say once I got in, it was all right, but I would just rather turn it on, have everything memorized, and Xbox Live, you hit it in and you're gone. You're good to go. Joe has just entered the chat room here.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Phil.
So they're saying that that's freedom and it's good. I don't think so much. I will say Keith and I had played a little bit. He was watching me play on Xbox Live the other night on that Battlefront game we just reviewed, and Xbox Live is still riddled with idiots. Some of the funnier things we said was people, oh, shit, here comes Vader, as Darth Vader would come charging at you, so everyone got a laugh out of that.
He rounds the corner, and all you just see is, like, two dudes fall down dead, and this guy goes, oh, shit, it's Vader, run! And then all these little rebels start scattering in the opposite direction.
That's really keeping with the genre.
For that really funny part, there was tons and tons of, hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me? Can anybody hear? Oh, I'm died. Oh, I'm shot. Oh.
Look, it's a thing. It's a thing. Over there, it's a thing. Oh, God.
I mean, guys, the worst thing on Xbox Live you could possibly ask is, can you hear me? Because after the third time, someone finally goes, yes, shut the f*** up! And that pretty much sets the tone for the rest of the game. I mean, why are you yelling at me? Because you're a stupid loudmouth. I actually heard that conversation the other day. I don't even know how we got into this discussion, but yeah, the PlayStation 3 will not...
So are you defending Xbox Live, or are you against it now? I'm kind of, like, lost. Like, everything needs Xbox Live. It's awesome, except for these... But use it.
It's an honored foe. He beats it down and goes, good job, I respect you for your efforts, and then walks away.
I guess to answer your question, I really like Xbox Live. I like what Nintendo's doing with their single online service. Yes, it is a problem that you get into these games with a lot of these 10-year-old idiots that don't know what they're doing, or they just try to annoy you on purpose. I hope with the 360 version of Live that it's going to have a lot more filtering. It's going to handle friends lists a lot better. So in theory, you should be playing with folks that you know, or you can get out of the games with the 10-year-olds and get into people, you know, if we want an older crowd that's not going to be as stupid, then we can do that. I hope.
Next topic.
The PSP Media Manager. iTunes is pretty popular. Apple makes it. It's an easy way to get your media onto your iPod. It'll do the conversions for you of music, and it works really well. Sony has a bastardized version of iTunes. It's for the PSP, the PlayStation Portable. They have a Media Manager. What they want you to do is they want you to pay $20 and have this little UI to go over top of what the current, you got to use PSP Video. What PSP Video currently does, you're going to pay $20. They're going to make it a little bit more mainstream so that, you know, moms and dads can probably use it, but it will basically allow you to browse around your hard drive, drag and drop files onto your PSP, and then do conversions on the fly as it needs to, so you don't have to go through any kind of hoopla of, you know, naming things the right way and moving things, which isn't really that difficult, but yes, it kind of can be intimidating for people who have no idea what's going on.
Hey, that's,
those people
that's
don't
me.
Own PSPs.
So can
no,
you explain
just,
that to us, how you would normally do it? I mean, does it show...
And why I should pay $20 for it when it sounds like something that should be included with my $350 system?
No, I think Phil's asked, how do you do it without this program?
Right. You just, like, plug it, the USB 2 yep. cable to your computer, and does it show up like a removable drive? USB
That's exactly
stick?
What it does. You have a USB cable, and you stick it into your computer, and it will recognize it as a PSP. It will show up as an extra hard drive. Now, you have to put the thing in the correct directory. It also has to be named the correct thing. And lastly, it has to be in the correct format, so it needs to be an MP4 video format, or it won't work. This PSP video program, what that'll do is you can take AVIs and DVD files and all these different media types, and you can pick some settings about how much compression and stuff to use, do the conversion, and it writes out these files that you then copy into this right directory, this videos directory or whatever it is, on your PSP. Like Bob said, this sounds like something that kind of should come with the system. What you do, though, is they want you to pay $20 for it. The reason that I have such a problem with this is that it's very obvious to me that PSP is not a gaming device. They're not even pushing it as much as a gaming device. I mean, just take a look in Best Buy, how many UMD movies they have now, more coming out all the time, and now they're wanting to charge you for this whole multimedia movement program. They're trying to get the money where they can, and I guess that's not in games. I don't know really what the strategy is. You can download this program from their website with the $20 buy, or you can get a box version shipped to you. It comes with a USB cable and 5 free song downloads from Sony's online music store for an extra $10, so it would be $30 for that version. You told me it was a gaming system. It's not, and now you're going to stick it to me again by charging me $20 to move a crappy video file from here to there?
Next topic.
It's not going to tie into gaming at first, but we'll get to it in a second. I'll bring it all home at the end. Sony's Audio DRM. DRM stands for Digital Rights Management. Digital Rights Management means if you buy a copyrighted CD, they don't want you to make a billion copies of it, sell them, put them out on BitTorrent and everything else. So what Sony decided to do is, if you've purchased a Sony CD since about 2005, there are these things that say Enhanced CD, and it says Copyrighted Works. You may have an issue if you've played it on your PC. What happens is you stick the CD in your PC, a little EULA will pop up. If you accept, it will install a program that hoses you pretty good. Let me explain what it does. It's XCP copy protection. It's supposed to make it so that you can't make more than 3 copies of this audio CD. It will have a little...
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, it has a little player, so if you want to listen to this CD, you bring up their little player and you can play their stuff, and you can use their little software to burn it. Fine, very nice. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is they're doing it through what's called a rootkit. Without getting super technical, rootkits are what hackers and Trojan viruses use to keep things hidden from the OS. So what it does is, this stuff that's installed, yes, it's in the EULA that it's going to install software. That's the extent that they say of it. What it really does is basically hides files, folders, and registry entries. You would never know it's there. there. The downside is, of course, as we talked about, this whole only wanting you to have X number of copies of this CD, even though it's yours. This stuff is on your PC and you're not aware of it. These files are running, checking to see, you know, is all the copyright stuff in, is good? Is the DRM, all that stuff okay? And it checks so many times a second that it actually uses some CPU resources. So without you even seeing it, knowing it, it's not even in your computer's little task manager there. It's all hidden.
Cute.
Sony has not really divulged exactly what CDs that this is on, although if you look on Amazon, it was pointed out. The guy who's found this, a guy that for the SysInternals website, and he was doing some rootkit testing against some viruses and stuff, and he found this on there. He pointed out that on Amazon, it does say enhanced CD copyrighted. He also found that the files were hidden. He tried to get in there, and he removed them. He said, all right, cool. He rebooted his PC, and upon rebooting, because those files weren't there anymore, it basically hosed all of his CD and DVD drives. They were unusable. He had to go through some nonsense to get them back that a normal human being probably wouldn't know how to do. So Sony hasn't said a whole lot, but representatives of the company that came up with this system said, well, this happens all the time. We do need software for digital rights management, and it's used everywhere.
Just a better reason to get all your stuff illegally. Because if you just download the MP3s, this doesn't happen.
Exactly right. I mean, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So all these people who are actually going through buying your CDs, now you're going to hose them without their knowledge? That's not right. They have released an update for their software for this, so to basically allow you to uninstall it and to supposedly fix it and be able to remove it easily. They've also given these rules out to all the virus scanning engines so that if you have this on there, your virus scanner should be able to detect it and remove it if you want. Thank you very much, Sony. You're continuing the strong tradition of...
Damn, swear words.
How does this relate to gaming? Well, two ways. First of all, it's Sony. Second, and more importantly, World of Warcraft has a similar kind of shady thing. I believe we talked about it a couple weeks ago. When you're playing World of Warcraft, it'll scan all your processes that you're running on your PC. So if you have two emails and a Word document open, it will look in the title bar of that Word document, and it will report, send them back to Blizzard to prevent hackers from running any of these illegal code things to hack in World of Warcraft. So they kind of did that under the sly. One of the ways that you can get around this now is you can use this Sony DRM that's installed on your box that hides files and things from the system, and if you do some little magic, which I'm not going to go over on the air because all that's going to do is enable more hackers.
But I like yeah. that topic. It was shady.
If you haven't done it already, turn off your freaking auto-run on your PC. Please do yourself a favor and do that. Otherwise, somebody puts a CD in the drive and it will automatically install whatever they want to install on your system, which is bad, bad. I'm going to try and remember to put some links on our site in the show notes to see how to turn that off. Preceding it with, anytime you go digging in the registry and you hose your computer, it's not my fault that you're an idiot and you didn't follow the three steps that you got
to
follow.
It's fun. It depends on your DLLs.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but DLL stands for delete later. It's just going to get removed anyway, so you could go ahead and delete it now.
Delete later, loser.
If you haven't got the sarcasm, don't delete any DLLs from your computer. Don't go effing with your computer if you don't know what you're doing. I am not buying you a new one when you break it and your dad beats you and beats you for weeks.
Next topic.
It's Xbox 360, no HD games. This is from an interview with Famitsu Xbox Magazine over in Japan. This is Xbox Japan's Yoshihiro Maruyama. He revealed that if and when the 360 comes out with an HD DVD drive, that's the new high-density DVD drives, it will be for movies only, not games. This could be bad because we've talked about it before, the lack of space on the current generation of media. You're trying to get all this high-def stuff. You're running out of space a lot sooner than you should have. I guess I commend them for sticking to what they got. They're not going to be releasing something and then in another year throwing everybody that's bought it already, kicking them right in the back. So I give them hats off on one hand, and on the other hand, this probably should have been in there to begin with. If they did release it with two versions, then we'd have another debacle, and you'd still have to code to the lowest common denominator because you can't put the games out on a format that half your customer base can't even read. So movies only, if and when it happens. No comments? No one cares?
I care, but it's just like, duh. What the f*** is everybody doing? I'm like running out of criticism because how much more can I say? I think I almost have to apologize to Sony, though, because I remember saying in one of our earlier shows with consoles how they just kept trying. They're pretty much just PC pieces. And I had made the comment that it would be great if somebody would actually take the time and use the fact that you have some type, all this integrated hardware to do something really cool. And then Sony's like, we did. Look, we're going to have a triple core processor on our thing. And because of that, everybody's like, no, Sony, no, you can't even program for that. Why would you bother? And I'm contradicting myself because that's exactly what I wanted. Good thing I didn't spend millions of dollars to find that out.
Innovation is the key to our future. Holy crap, that's different. Get it away from me. Give me the old standby.
It burns. It burns.
And I don't have it as a topic, and we're not going to get into it, but briefly, the VP of Marketing, Reggie Fils Emin, or whatever his name is over there for Nintendo, he talked about disruptive technologies, which Nintendo is described as, you're used to this controller. They came out just out of the blue with this Revolution controller, and they think that that pushes innovation to the next level. So there's something to be said for that as well.
Next topic.
It's Factor Crap time, guys.
Yay!
One crap and two facts. Some of these are a little crazy here. Our boy Bumblefoot, the Florida lawyer, led the charge against the rap group 2 Live Crew back in the late 80s. Number two. And don't laugh now. Pirates attacked a cruise ship and were fended off with a sonic beam. And continue not to laugh when I tell you that one of the members of the band Evan Stone and the Translucent Ham Sandwich Band was assaulted during a show by a guy dressed in a ninja suit.
Man, that's great!
Only one of those is a lie. So good luck. So you got Bumblefoot doing the whole 2 Live Crew thing back in the 80s, pirates attacking a cruise ship defended off with a sonic beam, and the Translucent Ham Sandwich Band guy got beat up by a ninja.
I'm going to say number two is crap.
All right, so Keith is saying that pirates were not defended with the sonic beam.
I got to say, this is hard, Chris. This is...
All right, Tom is typing. Tom, you want to type your answer while the other two figure out what they want to do?
Come on, Stephen Hawking. Tell us what you need.
You are the Succor. Boom. Shaka laka laka. He's saying that the Translucent Ham Sandwich Band was not beat up by a guy dressed in a ninja suit.
Yeah,
Bob?
I'm gonna agree with Tom.
Okay.
The pirate thing
Bob
is too cool to be fake. You want me to pick that one.
You lured me in with pirates.
So you're saying pirates?
Number two, because I do believe there is a ham sandwich band out there.
Could I make up something like Evan Stone and the Translucent Ham Sandwich Band? I mean, Tom wants to know what kind of pirates were they? Were they after the ship's bandwidth? Well, the one that's actually crap is the Ham Sandwich Band. Good job, Bob and Tom. Phil is correct. Yes, there is a band called Evan Stone and the Translucent Ham Sandwich Band, but since all these factor craps are only tangentially related to video games, I figured I would throw ninjas and a ham sandwich in one of the ones. That didn't happen. Pirate thing. Pirates attacked a cruise ship and got fended off with a sonic beam. Fact. In Somalia, the Seabourn Spirit got shot at by some pirates in speedboats wielding rocket-powered grenades. I mean, you can't make this up.
Wow.
Now, to add to this, that ship is owned by Carnival Cruise Lines. It was a cruise going on.
Wow.
They have a big old satellite dish thingy on the side of the ship, which they use for the sole purpose of shooting sonic waves at people trying to steal stuff off the boat. I was not aware that in use. It shoots a non-lethal sonic blast, which knocks everyone off of their feet, thereby foiling the pirates' plans.
You've been foiled, cousin Batman. You dynamic duo will get you next time.
Where did you find that?
The Batman TV show, episode 127.
I don't even remember, but I guarantee if you Google search Pirate Cruise Ship Somalia Sonic, you'll get hits.
You sure that wasn't an episode of Love Boat or Fantasy Island or something like that?
It was a Knight Rider episode, I think. Oh, crap, Kit, look out. It's okay, Michael. They have a sonic laser beam.
I can't go in the water.
That's the pirates. I thought you guys would get a kick out of that one. Lastly, Bumblefoot led the charge against the rap group 2 Live Crew back in the late 80s. This is a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of easy, but I didn't know that. It should have been a trivia, but I needed one more factor crap. So here's a little something extra since I got a lame one. This dude has a book that's coming out in late December. I went on Amazon to look for it because I want to buy it. Now, I don't want to buy it because I don't want to give him money, so I need to find a way. I wonder how. I wonder if I could figure out a way. Maybe I could ask some of those guys that got hit with the sonic beam. They may know, I don't know, a way to get the book. Who knows? I would go to type it in, and I would hear, boo, 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 and then I'd be plastered against the wall, and I'd be foiled. Here's something interesting. Go to Amazon.com. Do a search for Jack Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. So it gives you your search results back, right? That's just a little Easter egg if you want to do a little hunting around on Amazon for Jack Thompson. I want to destroy this book much in the same way that we had our Space Pirate contest. Speaking of which, Chris Galant, where's my entry here? I've gotten the second place entry from Neil, so I need the first place entry and we'll be good to go. I did want to mention that the Quag had pointed me out to the Jack Thompson website, so, and he does have a book. I thank you for, there's the shout out. Okay, that was Factor Crap.
Next topic.
Video game death time.
You took my epic sword!
I'm gonna take your...
Our pals in China are yet again at it. A female gamer who goes by the name of Snowly has died after a huge World of Warcraft session spanning several days.
Ooh, this is the first World of Warcraft one, isn't it?
If you don't count the whole baby death thing, yes. This chick Snowly died after a long World of Warcraft session spanning days. She was complaining to her guildmates that she was feeling a little tired, and then she died. They actually had an online funeral for her.
I lay your pixels to rest.
You know, here, this brings up a pretty good point. Do we need to start instituting wills so that there's no, like, can I get her stuff? Like, bequeath it to me. I get your epic. Sorry, you need, like, in-game wills now.
Give me a market for that.
Mooder.
I did do a little research. The longest a human can survive without any sleep at all is 11 days. They die due to a weakened immune system. People who sleep less than 4 hours a night will die within 5 years. Next time your parents tell you go to bed, you may want to listen.
You're going to die.
Remember now, this whole Chinese thing has laws that after 3 hours and you get a character penalty. After 5 hours, you're reduced to level one. Now, I was reading that the system is not yet in effect. It's still in trial. So, of course, they're going to say, well, see, if you know, she would have not been playing had you reduced her level to one. But what I question is, are the social aspects of the game also crippled? I mean, if you can still chat, these social gamers that are playing, staying up for weeks and weeks on end, they don't really care about the levels. They're probably just talking it up with some folks. So I don't know if it would have mattered even. There you go, guys. An actual video game death. Last week was a sort of kind of video game death.
I'm really tired, and I need a rest.
I need a rest.
I need a cleric or a health stone.
Probably level 5.
Next topic.
The forum question. Go to our website, dreamstation.cc. Go to the general forums there. We put up polls every week. The current poll was, do you still buy or read print media for video games and stuff? 67% said yes, 33% said no. What I did want to say is we've gotten the most votes we've ever gotten in the poll, so thank you guys that are signing up in the forums. I mean, it takes 2 minutes. And what I'm going to do, though, this week is most of the people that posted, they also said what magazines are subscribed to, rather than reading thousands of people saying here's what they play. The big ones were Official Xbox Magazine, Play Magazine, Nintendo Power, Electric Gaming Monthly. A couple of people said they just read them in the stores. They don't actually buy anything. Maxim PC and GamePro.
Yes. Wow and wow. Wow, yeah. We got that many votes, and wow. People still pay for magazines.
Here's some things that make sense, though. Hero said that the demo discs are a pretty big draw for the magazines, and I hadn't even thought of that. I mean, Official Xbox Magazine comes with a demo. Rave said that, yes, he knows 90% of the info in the magazines, but that's okay. I mean, it's something to do and something to read. Nero said he finds it easier to read them in printed form than online, which also kind of makes sense. I mean, it's prettier layout and high-quality glossy pictures and stuff. And Redeema brought up a pretty interesting point that somebody said something about Nintendo Power. We were talking about it last week, even, that you needed the Nintendo Power when you were playing in the first generation there, the NES. And Redeema said, well, they don't really include much strategy in the Nintendo Power anymore, and in any of these magazines, to be honest, because there's a whole lucrative strategy guide market out there now that all these people are going crazy with the strategy guides. Digital Creator said he uses RSS feeds online to get his news. So my hat's off to him. That's the way that everyone should do it. If you want some RSS information, go back and listen to show number 20. We had a poll question about it, and I went into kind of how to handle the RSS a little bit better. I know the answer from all you guys. Does any of you still buy or read print media for video game information?
Ha!
I second Phil's notion. That's...
I said it's more of a hassle to drive 10-15 minutes to the mall than it is to walk up the stairs and have my computer on and Google the name of the game and walk through or cheats, print them out on my nice printer.
So yeah, I completely agree with you. So yeah, I was kind of amazed by that, and I didn't realize it. So stupid me. The next poll for next week. What's the longest you've played games without a break? A break, I'm considering anything over 15-20 minutes. What I mean by that is, I don't count running up to get a snack. If you gotta drop the deuce, you're allowed to go do that. But sleeping, napping, and all that other good horse pookie, you're not allowed to do. We'll do 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 24, or 24 plus.
Okay. If you consider one of your LAN parties, you know, we stop for food, the pizza shows up, we grab a couple slices, and then we keep playing, is that a break?
I think that would count. No, that's not a break. I mean, we're just getting pizza. Just being gaming at the computer, at the console. I mean, we've gamed for... Tom would like the poll topic to be, have you ever died from playing a video game, yes or no?
Good one, Tom.
So as much as I would like to know, have you ever died playing a video game? I don't know we'll get the turnout that I'm looking for.
Next topic.
Mailbag, mailbag time. If you want to send us some emails or audio clips, www.dreamstation.cc. This one's from Kazi. Hey, a little late, but here it goes. Before Shadow of the Colossus was released, Sony sent demos to game advisory panel members. Here's the review. Maybe it'll save us a few souls from the game. So this is an impromptu quick review of the demo version of Shadow of the Colossus. The first thing I noticed was this isn't as pretty as I remembered it being at E3, but hey, it was a demo. Maybe it got better. Maybe. Apparently our hero cannot run. I mean, if I wanted an adventure where the hero ran the way he does, I'd run it myself. He's no Link. Also, the demo gave us the first level only, which lasts some dots, about as long as it took to read those dots. And I have the hiccups. What a horrible time to have the hiccups. Then comes the first Colossus. He conveniently is a mini dungeon. He's wearing it on his back. The battle lasts longer than the dungeon does, but eventually you poke him to death. Yes, you basically take your sword and jab it into him until you get up to his head. Then he bleeds. And he put Jack Thompson is representing the Colossus species in an upcoming lawsuit about the game, by the way. Sorry, I apologize, but I have the hiccups, and we have to continue the show. The Colossus dies, and then you are told, go buy the game. You may remember that in order to find out where you want to go or where the boss's weak point is, you have to reflect the light of the sun off your sword. If the camera didn't decide you didn't need to actually be able to see the stream of light, this would be a problem. Also, by doing this, the Colossus will probably step on you. I love a hero that can be beaten by clouds. I was going to buy this game, but after playing the demo, I will pass. I'm sorry. I can't really control it. This one's from Atticus, 414. Hey, we need more video games. Game deaths. Must hear about stupid people. Rawr. This one is from Squeak. Hey guys, this is responding to, remember the Australian Patty and his audio question? He's responding to that question. Hey, I have to respond because in my house we have 6 Apple computers and 1 PC. Microsoft is a drunken monkey with money. Oh, excuse me.
I didn't leave that one in there.
Leave it in because you're the drunken monkey.
I didn't say it, but no one in my house is a fan of Microsoft and using PCs. Responding to what Chris said, that OS 10 will not get on the PC. That's partially true. They will not, but hackers will. The Intel version of OS 10.4, aka OS 86, has been hacked into on a PC, but many people have gotten it to work. Tom is definitely right that there will be no change in games for Macs, except they will be easier to make for Apple. This one's from Mike in New Jersey. I think your show is great. I listen to it every week. Great bunch of laughs. Keep the humor coming. If you could choose one video game to completely destroy and remove from everyone's home across the United States and the world, what would be your most hated game of choice?
Halo 2!
Also, could I get a shout-out to one of my friends, Ryan. I will not read his last name. He's Asian. Feel free to insult him any way you like. Ha.
I'm not giving you another whiskey.
How dry I am.
I wanted to say Guild Wars, but Halo 2 is a good one.
So Keith, Halo 2. Phil, Halo 2. Bob?
City of Heroes.
Can you see, I can only pick one game, so yeah, it's going to be Halo 2.
You really would pick City of Heroes?
I have a deep, deep-seated hatred for that company now. Only a game that I like that much could make me hate it even more. I was thinking in my head of all the games that I could possibly pick, because it came so close, and I hate it the most.
Is it not better to love and to lose and to never love at all, Bob?
No.
I think I'm going to pick Doom 3, because of Doom 3. We now have Quake 4, so thanks. We appreciate it.
Quake 4 is better than the horde of masses saying how sweet Halo 2 is. At least it's a PC game, so you don't have to hear about it everywhere.
I'm going to potentially ostracize myself here, and I'm probably going to buy my friend's version of Halo 2. Excuse me, off of him. It could just be the whiskey talking here.
That's because you're clearly drunk.
After playing Battlefront, I'm willing to give it the old 2-foot college try. Oh, jeez, oh, piso.
Gonna give it the college try by doing a kickstand.
I'm gonna give it the college try, and I'm gonna try Halo 2 again. I'm going to use my smart joy frag, and I'm going to beat Godfrey and Nano at their own game.
Cue lamb sound. I'm not even hating it because it's so much a bad game. I'm hating it because I'm sick of people saying how sweet it is. When compared to every other first-person shooter on the computer, it's not good.
I will agree with you on that. Even Raven Shield is probably better.
All right, this one is from XSMNMX. Smix. That's the new flavor of Chex Mix. Smix.
This leak speak is getting harder and harder to read every day. I'm getting too old for this.
Age of Empires wasn't released for the Mac, but you are right. The Crafts and WoW, so anything by Blizzard, are released with a Mac version on the same disk as a Windows version. Same with Myst series and Lionhead, the whole Fable thing, seems to be getting Mac ports of games. But yes, it's true, a Mac games selection is poor. Strangely enough, though, it does have Halo. But as a multimedia machine, it is, as a general rule, more stable and more useful. On a gaming front, PCs definitely have the advantage. If I played more games on the computer instead of just WoW, I'd definitely shell out the bucks for one, and he knows it's all in good fun. This was referring to the fact that we kind of make fun of Macintosh. Now, for an unrelated gaming question, going with the idea that a fully kitted out 360 with four controllers and some games will cost around $600, I'm estimating, and some have estimated, a full PS set to be $700, saying that the Metal Gear Solid trailer is an actual demonstration of the system's power. What next-gen console do you think will be the best buy? I'm not including the Revolution, because it's really incomparable to the other two. Since you've just said we can't pick the Revolution, which was what I was going to pick as probably being the best buy, because I feel personally it's going to be a little bit cheaper. My second guess, then, of course, would be the Xbox 360. We'll see as I'm standing in line. After I get my gallbladder removed, then 2 days later, I'm going to stand in line with some of the guys from the site.
Dude, you're getting the gallbladder removed. You're not getting a new lung.
Stay tuned until November 23rd. You might have a video game show related to death.
All right, so what do you guys think?
I'd say the Xbox, if I had to pick one.
I guess I'd have to go with, I guess, the Xbox.
All right.
PS3.
And Bob. Bob's going to say the PS3 just to be a punk and bankrupt everyone.
No, that's the better buy. Sony is for the gamer.
Next topic.
I kind of think that's the show. We appreciate you suffering through the whole thing. www.dreamstation.cc for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive. You can email us, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. If you would like us and you like our show, vote for us all over the place, including Gamertag Radio. Their voting is going to be closing soon. Last I checked, we did have about 5 votes out of the 200 or so people that voted.
We own. Tom said the show is doing well on Yahoo. Pimp Podcast, Yahoo.com. And then included this link.
Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, Odeo, Yahoo. I mean, a new one comes up every time I sneeze or hiccup.
Podcast Pickle.
We hope you come back next week. All right, Phil has to poop, so I guess we'll see you guys next week. Haha, 3,000 people know you had to poop.